Hey, I'm Seth.
And I'm Cheryl.
This is Cat with Monocle.
And welcome back. Today we are talking about the movie Lisa Frankenstein, which comes out February 9th, 2024. It is essentially a modern day take on Frankenstein, a romantic comedy, if you will. But as we're going through talking today, I do want to mention there's going to be potential trigger warnings depending on how the conversation goes, which could be being drugged, sexual assault, murder, suicide, and things of that sort. So if there's something you want to avoid, you might want to watch or listen to one of our other episodes.
That, or you just cover your ears and say la 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 la, but you could do that, but onward the show, though. You got your warning. So Lisa Frankenstein, as you mentioned, comes out tomorrow, and it's more like I saw it as a modern day Frankenstein, set in 1989. So
yeah, it was set in the 80s. It very much gives you that feel of like those cult classics from the 80s, late 80s, early 90s time frame. Like it kind of gave me the feel of 16 Candles or The Breakfast Club. You know, that kind of thing. Very much an 80s feel to it. They did a really good job at that.
It felt like a mix of that, plus also like some droplets of like Tim Burton movie vibes, like Edward Scissorhands, even
a darker yeah. feel to it
and,
as well.
And it's considered a horror comedy
romance. Yeah. So it's let's talk about our first initial feel on it before we go into talking about the details and giving our final review. I would say right after walking out of the theater, I put it at probably a 4.5.
Yep.
What about you? Where were you at?
At the end of the movie, I gave it at least a 4. We talked a little bit about it, and that's what we're going to talk about more about, is our thoughts and opinions about the film. And the mm-hmm. score we gave it, or what the final score is. So, without further ado, as we mentioned, it's built in 1989, or everything set in 1989, revolves around Lisa, and she's an outcast. Unexpected. A tragedy happened in her life where her mother was killed, so she had to move to a new school after her dad remarried.
Yep, into a new town. Mm-hmm. And, you know, clearly she is struggling with, you know, the loss of her mother.
Yep.
Without giving away too much, she was there, sort of, when her mom was murdered. And so she's
had a tragedy, and she's...
She's in a dark place.
Yep. And having to go to new school, you know, making new friends, and all this happening and doing this on your last year.
Senior year of high school.
Yep. That's probably, I could say that, you know, probably one of the toughest things you could go through with all that stuff happening. All the transitions, that would be very hard on somebody, emotionally and whatnot. But her stepsister, Taffy, she tries to, you know, help her out a bit. And she does a pretty good job, but, you know, Taffy's going to have her own life as well.
Yeah, let's talk about maybe some of the acting a little bit.
Sure.
Unless we want to start with the story. Where do you want to start?
No, let's go a little story, and then we're going to deep into that.
All right, let's talk about the story. What was, how did you feel about it?
I thought the story was, I thought it was pretty unique. Like, it was something you don't really see all the time, and it really reminded me of a film I would watch in the early 90s, late 80s type of feel, in which they got that down. The film was produced by Zelda Williams, Robin Williams' daughter, and I think she did quite a good job with this film.
Mm-hmm. And to note, that is her debut full-length feature film. And I gotta say, she knocked it out of the park.
Yep. Yeah, I thought it was, I mean, it made me entertain and just from start to finish of what was going on with Lisa and the things that were happening around her. Being an outcast, she hung around one of these, it was a Victorian style graveyard that was abandoned.
Yeah, kind of a loner. She spent her time in a graveyard, and she found this one particular grave where there was a statue, like the head of a statue, mm-hmm. on the gravesite of a dapper fella. Mm-hmm. And she would spend time with him and talk to him and started to feel a connection. Yep. With him.
Yep. And then as that was going on, the next day, a tragedy happened in the weather, and next thing you know, I don't recall what the name of the
actual... She actually went to a party that night with her sister. That's... Some things happened. This was something that even I felt internally. It was a really ick situation.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up getting drugged by someone that she was talking to her crush at the time. Mm-hmm. And she ended up getting drugged by... They never said who the girl was. Was that a girlfriend or a friend of his?
They didn't, but they portrayed it as Lisa's crush was dating this this other...
Yeah, they never really said either. No, way, did they?
They didn't, but it portrayed as that way.
Yeah,
so
her love interest, Henry Eikenberry, is the actor, and Michael Trent is the character in the show. That's her love interest. So she was talking to him at the party, and this other girl came up, who is Joey Harris.
Yep.
Playing Tamara, came up, drugged her, and it pretty much went into effect almost immediately. And she was stumbling around, and...
She had help with a fellow classmate, quote, lab partner.
Yeah, partner, yep. Geeky type, who walked her up to a bedroom and started touching her inappropriately. And she left.
Yep.
But that was something that for a lot of people, I think, could be very triggering.
Yep, and so she was able to. So she got out of it. And she walked back home while intoxicated.
On her way home, she stopped at the cemetery.
Yes, she did. Mm-hmm. She stopped there, and then she after that she went back. She said,
"I wish I was with you, talking to the statue," and went home. Some green flashy things happened in the sky.
Yep,
and then. Essentially, the next evening, an intruder came into her home.
Yeah, scared the crap out of her, running right through the house and start chasing her.
Mm-hmm. Came through the window.
Yep.
A dirt-covered guy who we would eventually find out is Frankenstein.
Yep. They don't really call him Frankenstein, but it's more of the corpse.
Yeah.
But in this situation... Based on our podcast, we're going to name him Frankenstein.
Well, no, I think on the gravestone, wasn't she like doing an imprint?
She was engraving his name and the year he died.
Yeah,
as well.
So I think his name actually was Frankenstein.
Yep, and they based on the Victorian era, so he's got some years under that belt, under that dirt.
Under that dirt, yes. So
made a surprise entrance and remember Lisa. Lisa being played by Catherine Newton.
Yes, Catherine Newton.
Yep. And later on finding out that the Sun Intruder was actually not trying to go after her, was just trying to communicate with her.
And yeah, so he then, can't talk.
Nope. And so Lisa began to at least
befriend him.
Yep.
And try to understand.
And try to help him out, you know, show him how to use a shower and whatnot. And
you know. And telling him not to cry because his tears smell awful.
Yep.
But, yeah, so essentially she was like, you know, oh, he thought that she had a love interest in him. And it turned out she was like, no, when I said I wanted to be with you, it was not romantically, just life sucks. So.
Yep. She just needed somebody to talk to and she couldn't find that. And
she found it in him. They became essentially friends.
Yep. And along the way, it was where he couldn't hear half the way, so he needs some new body parts.
He needed some body parts. He was missing an ear. He was missing a hand. He was missing some other things, too, which you will find out about later in the movie.
Yep.
But they discover when... Do we tell about the parents at all or anything like that? I don't know. How far do we want to spoil?
We're trying not to spoil too much, but I mean, it's to the point where we need to explain a little bit of what's going on and how. So,
go ahead.
Well, I'd say Lisa has a conflicted relationship with her stepmother. She cares for her. But at the same time,
does she care for her?
Annoyed or just.
I don't know that she cares about her. I don't think she cares about much of anybody.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, when you're in that hole,
she's in a dark place. Yep. Her dad is pretty oblivious to what's going on.
Yep.
And her stepmom comes across as this super caring, you know,
caring, but also like. She kind of takes things a little bit over the top.
It's super dramatic.
Yeah, and so is her daughter Taffy, which is Lisa's stepsister. So it's kind of connects together. But it came to the point where Lisa's stepmother was threatening her to,
send her to a psych ward.
Right, and
spoiler alert coming.
Yeah. Was pretty much giving all these threats to her. And then, the corpse of Frankenstein was right behind the mother and decided to knock her out. Pretty good.
The knocking out killed her. So I don't think either of them expected that. But since it turned out she was dead, Frankenstein did what comes naturally. He needed an ear, so he went ahead and cut it off. And... Lisa, who, as it turns out, is a seamstress,
was able to reattach the ear.
Reattach it.
Yep.
And it doesn't work right away, but, Lisa is, has been sprucing Frankenstein up a little bit with some new clothes, new duds.
Yep.
And, getting them, as... Seth said earlier, making sure he got cleaned up and whatnot, but it turns out, she was like, oh, they have a tanning bed at their house.
Yep.
Because the sister, who is, a cheerleader, like super sweet, kind of ditzy, type stereotype for sure.
Yep.
She won some sort of beauty pageant of some sort, and she won a tanning bed.
Yep.
Now think about this. This is the 80s.
Those tanning beds are not going to be all that great in the late 80s, so
yeah,
you can only imagine how that thing probably functions then, too.
Exactly. So you see them going out to this shed, pretty much, she puts Frankenstein, Lisa puts Frankenstein in, and, it tries to get a little color in his skin.
Yep. And, after little zaps here and there, he came out looking a little better.
He did. And eventually, between that, it almost was like it was healing of sorts,
Yep.
because it eventually he could hear out of the ear. And then, of course, he wanted his hand. And what's the best way to get a hand is from someone who decided that they were going to touch someone else inappropriately.
Yep. I think we'll stop there on
Poetic justice. Poetic
the
justice right there.
spoilers.
So,
But just that what happened, and it became like now a goal and a journey to get Frankenstein up and running again. So it's a very, in you know, it's it definitely has some comedy, some dark humor to it. But it's something you don't really see a lot in theaters a lot. And this really does give it that
I will say,
nine early 90s, late
it
early 90s
does, it does,
vibes.
but I will say, this is rated PG-13,
Yes.
and
I was surprised.
honestly, I wouldn't even have my 13-year-old watch it. I don't know, maybe not even my teenager. I
Don't know, like I'm sure like
don't know,
I feel
like,
like that kind of movie is something you that could pass just fine at PG-13
I mean,
and then
from our
in the 90s.
generation, sure. I don't know about
Yes.
this
No,
generation.
that's you I'm just in this generation I'm surprised it's not really a rated R at that point.
Yeah, honestly, like there was so much, and there was so much sexual goals.
Yep.
She definitely wanted to make sure Lisa wanted to make sure she had sex before she died.
Yeah, she just.
She knew at some point she would die, and she was like, I'm still a virgin. And so she went on this pursuit of trying to find Michael Trent, and
Get her to, you know, make love to her pretty at this point. First, he was trying to get a connection, love connection. But as the movie went on, she's like, screw it.
she ran out of time.
She ran out of time. She's like, screw it. I gotta get this done. So. Yeah, but at the same time, you know, Frankenstein's also being a supporter and was like, you know, he
He's
can't, he
being
doesn't, here's the thing, he doesn't speak the movie, so he's mumbling like,
Yeah, he has about three lines during the entire movie, three, four, whatever it is, at the very, very end that closes out the movie. But during the movie, it is all grunts, and it's all nonverbal communication, and she can ask him questions and he answers.
Yeah,
And
and then they got, you know, Frankenstein, the creature, the corpse, whatever you want to call this character, played by Cole Sprouse. I mean, I guess he didn't have to worry about really acting, you know, acting with his words as much in this one, but.
I don't know. I would say to a certain degree that was probably harder because he had to use his entire body
Right, to get the
and
mess body
different
message.
inflections of the tone of his grunts
True.
in order to get the message across. So in some ways, it might have been harder.
Yeah,
I still think he did a really good job.
The movie really does it revolve and mostly around Lisa and Frankenstein.
And eventually their friendship blossoms into something more. It's not till the very end, but it does blossom into something more. And I think that's a good place to stop if yeah,
I think
as
that,
far as the description goes, I don't want to give it away too much towards the end there.
And I mean, writing wise, the film, I think it was done quite well with, they didn't, you know, it was a, it wasn't like a huge sci-fi, you know, superhero kind of thing. It was pretty much like, I don't know, it wasn't like, I'm trying to think of the words to describe this, like, a lot of, like, I wouldn't say too much creativity. It was just more like to the point of what was going on. And, you know.
Yeah, at some points I would say that because it was so direct and to the point, in some ways I think occasionally it went a little bit faster than maybe it could have.
There was some points I thought that was a little, either took too long and I was kind of waiting like, okay, this is, I was expecting more things to approach either a little quicker on some parts.
They really,
Others.
really hit home with how much of an outcast she was
Yeah.
by essentially having everyone, including the neighbors,
Yeah.
like a scene where the neighbors are talking about her, not looking, just hearing her screaming across the street as she's being chased by this
intruder.
Muddy intruder. It like she goes out the window into the front yards, running around the front yard, and then back into the house to try to get away from him. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, yeah, that girl, it's probably that girl, you know, that you know, what would they say, that weird one or whatever. So like
much. Yeah, they're like, oh, not Taffy, no she's great.
Yeah, not Taffy, the sister who's the cheerleader, that's great,
the one that everyone loves.
Yep. But they made a point that every single person was against Lisa.
It made it seem like it, and whenever she tried to get something she wanted, it just didn't work out at times. So it was like, it was almost like her against the world almost. Mm-hmm.
Except for Michael Trent. Michael Trent did seem to have a little bit of an interest.
He did.
Friendly interest, yeah, at one point.
Yeah, and I mean, his sister did help, you know, was trying to be supportive of her as well.
Who's? His sister?
No, Lisa's stepsister.
Oh, her sister.
Yeah.
Got it.
She was trying. I was expecting that to be worse when I watched. I thought she was going to
turn on her in some
fashion. In some kind of negative fashion.
She still made some undertone comments and whatnot here and there, but yep. I think it was more so just because she's kind of flaky and flighty.
Yeah.
And she just didn't know better, but she still cared about Lisa and she really did feel like she was part of the family and it was her sister.
Yep. And you know, like I mentioned, there was a lot of comical moments throughout the movie. There wasn't I didn't notice any CG going on. The only thing I noticed that was anything that was different from the movie is the opening credits where they did the animation, just a basic 2D animated story about the creature, on his kind of his backstory without using words. They just kind of showed like a, you know, animation.
A little,
a very short story, which I thought,
an animated story. It just gave just enough information to understand what his background was without having to take away from the story to give him time to tell about history. I think there was only a couple things that were added later on.
Yeah, there wasn't as much, and I thought that was good to kind of get that. To me, it was, we got that out of the way. We're going to jump into Lisa's, you know, we're going to jump into 1989. Here's Lisa, the outcast. Go.
Yeah.
And I thought that was good. They focused on a character, the development, how that was going.
Yeah. And they opened with her crimping her hair and burning her hair.
Yep. And then hairspray everywhere. So this is we're talking about definitely the
The neon makeup. I thought the makeup was terrible in the movie. Just like it was intended to be.
Yeah. Yep. And there wasn't, I mean, everything was done in the same town. Like the last movie I remembered, a movie being done in the same town, filmed-wise, was Napoleon Dynamite. That was the only last film I remember where...
Really?
Like, can you think of any other film that was done only in that town? Like, yeah, there's the school, there was a few houses, a graveyard.
Hmm.
Like, I can't think of anywhere where they went outside of the town.
I'd have to think back on that. Nothing's coming to the top of my head right off.
I mean, I'm sure there could have been a film or two, but the last I remember was, like I said, Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, it was just a typical town that they shot in. I don't know if they had did multiple locations, like multiple towns, but it seemed like it was just everyday...
Yep, but the setting was done, and what I mean is that the setting of the movie was done in one town. I'm sure they did different areas of different
towns.
Yeah,
they had the school, the graveyard...
A few
the
homes.
House.
There was a few homes.
Couple homes.
Mm-hmm.
Few homes. You're right.
Yep.
Few. So yeah, not a broad variety of places where they would have shot, like something like
no, mostly in the house.
Fast and the Furious or
right.
Or what's that other one that just Argyle? Yeah. Nothing like that.
No, this is this is pretty much a laid back kind of film you just want to watch and something a little different from today's standard films.
Mm-hmm. And so. even though it was dark, the comedy on it, it was outstanding. I really liked the writing and the acting. I felt like I really connected with it. And I felt like even though Lisa is such an outcast and by everyone in the town, pretty much.
Yeah.
With the exception of a handful of people.
Yeah.
I felt like, most anyone in society have had a time in their lives where they were an outcast in some way. And therefore, you are able to connect and understand and empathize with these characters, both the Frankenstein who goes and murders, but also Lisa, who is enthusiastic, an enthusiastic participant in.
There was a point in the film where I sympathize with Lisa and whatnot. I feel bad for her, and it was, I think it was like towards the end where she was just like, "All right, I gotta get laid." Like it was, she was like, she was.
You empathize with that?
No, I
Or
didn't. Way
sympathize?
to put words in my mouth on that one.
I'm just saying what you said.
No, I just got annoyed towards the end where she was just going gung ho, like, she was like totally bashing on Frankenstein, like, you're doing this and you're doing that. You need to chill out. And I'm like looking around and they're like, wait, what? Okay. But then things started to go down, and then I was fine after that. It was just that little moment there, and I'm like, really?
Oh, the criticism on his efforts when he's actually trying to help, but she doesn't realize it.
No, exactly. And just she just didn't care, and she just was like, and I mean, if that was the point, then you did the job. But right after, but then I came back, my levels came back down. I was like, okay, I get it.
So, yep. It sounds like we empathized with an a murderer and a murdering team.
Yeah, partners in crime, I guess.
Yep, kinda. So,
But I mean,
acting I think was outstanding. Honestly, I can't think of anyone who didn't do a great job.
no, I mean, I feel like a lot of the supporting cast, they didn't have a long enough role. Like, more so because their screen time was a few lines and they were done. And they went back to Lisa and Frankenstein, just going on the development
Yeah,
on
but
that.
the even the more,
Like the
the
only.
other characters, like the mom and the stepmom and dad, I thought they did a great job at their roles. The sister was outstanding, perfect stereotypical cheerleader, but one that actually cares. And even Michael Trent seemed to be a solid person. Like, I can see why Lisa had a crush on him before
Yeah,
things
she
evolved with Frankenstein.
like he gave like he was not being mean to her. He was kind of giving support, like, hey, how you doing?
Your poems are
Talking to her.
great, and
And that
even
made
though
her.
you have a dark personality, like, yeah, I like your stuff.
Like, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, overall, like, I mean, it's a good movie. Would you watch it again, Cheryl?
I would. I really like the movie a lot. Even though, as mentioned before, there were some points in the movie when I felt like they kind of went too far to remind people how much of an outcast she was. Like, I didn't see the value in adding the neighbors just sitting there randomly talking, not even looking up at Lisa being chased and, possibly hurt.
Yeah, it seemed like it was more of like unnecessary footage they could use. I'm not sure what the goal of having that in there was, just to say, oh, nobody cares about her. I mean,
Actually,
I don't
now that I'm
know.
thinking about it, I felt like a little bit of vulnerable when I was seeing that. Like, 'cause, like, just look up. Look up. She needs your help.
And they.
And no one seemed to care in any way.
And I think that was maybe that was the point of it, was nobody cared about Lisa. And that's what got her into the situation where, like, screw everybody, it was Lisa against the world.
Maybe. Yeah. No, I can see where that is. I still think they kind of went a little too far.
And she didn't like,
Like,
and she, and you gotta think too, she was also in her shell up until Frankenstein, came into the picture, and then she started to become more confident of herself and started to, dress differently. She was talking
acting
more. Her
differently.
acting started to change to, well, I wouldn't say acting,
Like, her personality started
correct.
to blossom in the movie.
And she had goals of mine, and we mentioned those goals earlier, what those were, and it was Lisa time.
It was, and she did a really good job. I didn't dislike any of the characters except the ones I was intentionally supposed to dislike.
Yeah, would you, writing back, would you have wanted to see more about Frankenstein and his past a little bit more in the film, or did you think?
Honestly, I felt like it was complete with that little animation at the beginning. Like, I didn't need more. Could I have seen more? Depends on how they did it, but that was
Yeah.
enough.
I think if they were to put that in, it took away of what that vibe of that movie was.
Potentially.
And I think it would have just done something with it to where I was watching two different films. And I think the way it was done, the way Zelda directed this film, and the way it was written was cut and, I wouldn't say cut and dry, but to the point. This is about Lisa. This is about Lisa's development with Frankenstein, how it went from beginning to end to where she falls in love.
Yeah.
So, and that's what it was. So,
She did end up falling in love.
yep.
And yeah. It was I don't know. I kind of saw what the ending would look like. Kind of foreshadowed it a little bit. It wasn't a surprise. But you weren't upset or
No,
sad or and it didn't feel incomplete.
it felt like it wrapped it up pretty good.
Yeah, but it still left an opening if they decide to do something else with it.
I mean, you have to. Every movie's like that at this point.
Well, maybe. But after talking about it a little bit, where would you fall on it?
Oh, I get a 4.25.
You'd give it a 4.25. Yeah, and me, I would still lean towards the 4.5 to 4.25. I think 4.25 just because I think that there were a few things like that I think they could have done a little bit better. As far as maybe picking a
I
different.
thought there was some pacing issues that were going on, but overall it was pretty solid.
And the music, like,
The music I didn't really get a lot of. There was
it was just background noise. Like, it helped carry the story, but it wasn't spectacular.
it didn't really move the movie to do something. It was
Exactly.
just like you said, background noise. They did play an 80s track at the very beginning on a little radio station, but that was it. Otherwise, it was just
Well, there was that one song that was saying.
in the middle of the film. Yeah,
Yeah, but that was the only one
that was
that
it.
kind of.
That was the only vocal track there was.
Exactly. So, yeah, I would land somewhere around a 4.25.
Okay, so
So.
yeah. So if I say watch it, Lisa Frankenstein comes out February 9th, 2024.
Yeah. And yeah, definitely worth going out and watching. So, thanks again for listening to Cat with Monocle. This is Cheryl.
This is Seth.
Have a good day.
See ya.
Bye.